acting as their shepherds at Mount Horeb, which is also known as Mount Sinai. He encounters a bush that is on fire, but is not being consumed by that fire. Now, on first glance, for Moses, it may not have seemed like all that big of an issue. In the Holy Land and in the Sinai area, it is exceptionally hot, it is exceptionally dry, and it is not uncommon for vegetation to combust from the heat and the dryness. But of course, when this happens, it burns up. But this particular bush is not being consumed, and curious, Moses approaches this oddity only to have it speak to him. Moses! Moses! Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals because the place where you are standing is holy ground. And at verse 2, we're told that the angel of the Lord was in the flame. But at verse 5, it is clarified that God is directly speaking to Moses. This is firsthand, first person, if you were conjugating the verbs and the nouns. He says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac, or the God of Isaac. From the earliest days of the Christian era, some 2,000 years ago, up until the mid-19th century, the universal understanding of this event is that it is the pre-incarnate Christ speaking to Moses, who has come down from heaven and is addressing him directly, telling him that he has indeed seen the suffering of his chosen people in Egypt. Now bear this in mind. The pre-incarnate Christ is the second person of the Godhead, the second person of the Holy Trinity, who in time will be born of a virgin in Bethlehem, become fully human and fully God, and receive the name Jesus, which means God saves, and Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This has been generally dismissed, this understanding of Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ in the bush, by many mainline academics over the course of the last century and a half, which is nothing short of a tragedy in understanding the story and the saga of salvation as it unfolds before us in the Old Testament. Remember, you know, as I've shared with you many, many times in the past, when Augustine of Hippo, Saint Augustine, the great doctor of the church, in his commentary he wrote on Exodus in the fourth century, he wrote, "The new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed." As we read through Exodus, we are going to find multiple times when the pre-incarnate Christ appears to God's people, loving them, protecting them, and guiding them, and nurturing them. Moses clearly does not want the job that God has for him. God desires to send Moses to Egypt to free his people. But Moses wants to forget the previous life that he had in Egypt. He simply wants to raise his family and take care of his livestock. There's a death sentence on his life in Egypt for killing a soldier. Now that Pharaoh who reigned, his previous adopted father has died, and a new Pharaoh has taken place. It may be one of his brothers who is the Pharaoh. And Moses is fearful. He likes his new life. But God has chosen this particular man for this particular purpose. Think of all of the miracles that happened in his life. He survived the death sentence that was placed on all Hebrew boys. He was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He received all of the education necessary to care for the people and to protect them as he leads them out. God has given him everything he needs to be a successful leader. And yet Moses lives in fear. He argues with God. And perhaps we've all argued with God. I know I've argued with God. I've never won an argument with God, but I continue to do so. And Moses says, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" Now, we've spent a lot of time over the last several months talking about the term, the name I am. The Hebrew name is Yahweh. The Greek name is Ego Eimi. It is the divine name of God, the name that God self-reveals of himself. And it is the Lord Jesus, some 1,200 years after this, as he is teaching throughout Galilee and Judea, when he makes those seven amazing prepositional I am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. Jesus claims I am because he is I am. And here he is speaking to Moses, encouraging him to go to Egypt to fulfill the particular role that God has for him. Now, there's many names we read about God in the Old Testament, and I'm not going to name them all, but there's several that came to my mind this past week. There's El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty, El Elyon, the Most High God. There is Lord Master, the Lord my banner, the Lord my shepherd, the Lord that heals, the Lord is there, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord who sanctifies you, the everlasting God, the Lord who will provide, the Lord is peace, the Lord of hosts, and there's many others. But those are all descriptors or attributes of God. The name by which God desires to be known is I am. And the Lord of all creation has appeared to this elderly shepherd in a bush that is not being consumed by fire, a man saved by mercy by being floated down the Nile River. And this man is being called by God to go back to Egypt. And understandably, he's a bit overwhelmed by all that is happening. Why in the world would God choose him, Moses, to save his people? And it is really the same question that should concern all people of faith. Why should the Lord of creation care about any of us? Why would the one who created all that is, who spoke creation into existence out of nothing, who placed the planets and the stars into orbit, who designed the shape on every single robin's breast and the design on every individual snowflake, why would that God care for us? Yet God does care for us. God does love us. God desires to be in a relationship with us, and he has redeemed us at great personal cost to himself. God chose Moses, a particular person in a particular time, in a particular place, for a particular task. But God also chose other people in the Bible as well. Joshua, Deborah, David, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Haggai, Paul, Peter. The list goes on for pages and pages. God has used all of these particular people for a particular task. And one thing that we need to be aware of as we're reading through Scripture is that we are not Moses. We are not David. We are not Isaiah. We are not the Apostle Peter. It is not for us to put ourselves into their stories and interpret their story into our life. The Bible is not about you. The Bible is not about me. The Bible is about a God, right, who has self-revealed himself and saved his people and his creation. And we need to remember that God also uses us as a particular people to make himself known to the world as individuals, and that God also chooses us as a particular family to bless the community in which we live. God has chosen each of you for a particular purpose, right? And that is to participate in what God is doing and bringing redemption into the world. Moses didn't want to participate in the plan that God had for him, but he did, and God blessed him. Are you aware of the plan that God has for you? Maybe you may not know of a specific task, but you are called to live a specific way, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Oftentimes, it's not difficult for us to think that we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but I think we struggle with loving our neighbor as ourselves. Do you say a prayer before you eat your meal while quietly holding grudges and anger against your neighbor? Do you live in peace with your community? Do you despise people because of their politics? Do you love with mercy and compassion? Do you have a heart for the least of these? This is who we are called to be. This is our identity. We are not Democrats. We are not Republicans. We are not libertarians. We are not Green Party. We are not communist or socialist or any of that stuff. We are children of the one true God, the creator of the universe, who loves us individually and particularly, and desires for us to make him known in how we live and how we love and how we act. Soli Deo Gloria. All right, to God alone be all the glory. Amen.